Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Alrighty, before we invite Pastor Nelly up to bring our message today, can we all stand just in honour of God's word as we read through our scripture this morning? Alright, so our scripture this morning is Matthew 28. So it's the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Father, we thank you this morning for your commission. I'm thankful even this morning that you're reminding us that last words are of first importance. And so your last words mean a lot to us, Jesus. These are the last things that you said to us, your disciples, before you left the planet. And we thank you that you give us a mission, that we are included in your mission. I pray, God, that just for an activation of your people here today, I pray, God, that you would use me to teach your word. I want to move completely out of the way, that we hear directly from the throne room of heaven in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. The actual title of my message today, I don't have a title slide for it, but the title of my message today, if you're taking notes, is Last Words, First Importance. Can you say that with me? Last Words, First Importance. It says here, now the 11 disciples, there were 11 because Judas had obviously gone, went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And again, notice that in verse 16, there are disciples. They are disciples, but they doubt. Being called disciples does not necessarily mean that they have to be absolutely perfect all the time. But there are moments that you might doubt. And in that point of crisis, because obviously Jesus had died and had been resurrected. So, you know, in that moment of unbelief, you know, you've seen your great Savior be crucified, die for his faith and die for us. But then you hear about him being resurrected. Some were still not sure, even though that they had walked with him day by day for 3 years, some doubted. I'm here to tell you today that there'll be times that you walk as a disciple of Christ, but you won't necessarily walk in great faith. Like the song that we just sang, Echo, it talks about there's moments that you might be losing your faith. But the best thing that you can do in a time when you feel like you're losing your faith is to come into an environment like this where you encounter God. Just like these disciples, they went to the mountain to meet Jesus. And they took their doubts to God. And it says here, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." I spoke about this last week, right? If he has all authority, that leaves us with what? No authority. So because he has complete authority, we can put our trust in him. And because he has complete authority, we move to the next verse, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you." How many of you are thankful that God is with us today? Like even at a point of desperation, there is no place like being sheltered under the presence of God. The benefit that we have as Christians. See, you'll hear me say from week to week that Christ never promises us a storm-free life. He promises us a storm-proof life if we will shelter ourselves under the presence of God. And so as disciples, even though we may doubt, even though fear may try to invade our hearts, I'm telling you the best place that you can be is to be sheltered as a disciple in the presence of God. Now here at this church, as a disciple, We look at the Greek word of which this passage is written. Again, these are the last words of Jesus that he says to his disciples. In Acts, in the book of Acts, you read about his last words there. And his last words there are, "But the Holy Spirit, I'll give you the Holy Spirit and power, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." There is an aspect of outward ministry that God has called every single one of us as followers of Christ. So as we're talking about our values here at this church. This is what this series Into the Horizon is all about. Looking forward through the lens of our vision and what we are all about here. And one of the things that we're all about here is discipleship. We will be disciples of Christ. We're called to be disciples of Christ. There's a reason why in the scriptures you only find in three places the word Christian. And yet there's over 100 mentions in the New Testament of the word disciple. How many of you know God desires for us to be disciples and not just your average Christians? In fact, the term Christian was actually a derogatory term for those who are trying to imitate Christ. But disciples understand, I am trying to imitate Christ because he is worthy of my attitude towards him. Teaching. So when we look at this, we understand that there is a some of the qualities here of what it takes to be a disciple. And what we're going to look at is basically go through the lens of these scriptures and another part of the scriptures. If you have a Bible, you can go with me to Matthew 10 because we'll camp out there for a little bit as I teach the Word of God today. Here at Every Nation Brisbane, while you're turning your Bibles or flicking your app, we have a process here of which we walk through in order to grow and mature as disciples. Over here is a picture of it. We call it the four E's. And so we talk about engaging in community. We engage those who are lost, who are far from God. We are established in our faith. How many of you know, again, because we will face storms, we will face trials in life. How many of you have experienced trials before or are walking through one right now? And we're going to have an opportunity to pray for those around us who may be walking through trials. It's so important. It's not very exciting. You'll notice that exciting is not one of the four E's. But it's important for us to establish good, solid, biblical foundations. I can't reiterate this enough. That there will be attempts on your life for your life to be shaken, like emotionally. Certain circumstances. How many of you know life happens? Stuff happens. But if we aren't well-founded in our faith, we will be shaken every time. Or we will be lured and tempted towards a lifestyle that is totally contradictory to what he says. And that's why, you know, you never get excited looking at a building and going, wow, that's a beautiful foundation. Because it's just concrete and like rods. There's nothing glamorous about building a foundation. But it is necessary to build a foundation. And if there's anything I want to encourage you with today, is to not just build your foundations once, but to continue to reestablish your foundations in Christ. Not religion as well, not Christian activity. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to KFC makes you a family pack. It's not the venue that determines you being a disciple of Christ. It's your ability to say, you know what, I will do the unglamorous work. The part of the building, again, you hear me say this all the time, the part of the building that you don't see is its foundations, yet it is what it stands upon. Without a foundation, I don't care how great the building is on top. I mean, we see so many cranes in our city building all these huge structures because our city is expanding with growth and the population is growing. That's really exciting. But if those buildings don't have a solid foundation, then the Brisbane River will be filled with concrete because those things will come tumbling down. And we don't want to be those sorts of Christians. So I want to reiterate, come, establish your faith. We have tools like the Purple Book. Of many of us who are in this room are walking through the Purple Book, establishing good, solid foundations. I'm telling you, the enemy's not happy that I'm talking to you about establishing foundations. Because if I talk to you about, you know, other stuff and, you know, the stuff that God just wants to bless you and God just wants to make your Christianity like a sanctified Disneyland where you don't have to pay anything for it and there's no queues in the lines. Oh, whoop-dee-doo. Let's enjoy our Christianity, buddy. Let's dance at the tulips. I'm telling you, one trial, one tribulation you walk through, you'll be running for the hills. And where's this? Where's Jesus now? Look, he's been here trying to meet you in the secret place. There's a reason why Matthew 6, right? He talks about giving, praying, and fasting, and he honors that which is done in secret, not advertised. And so God wants to build and establish strong biblical foundations. I wasn't supposed to go there, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to highlight that for some reason. Then we want to equip the believers to minister and then empower them into their destinies. And that's the sort of church we want to be. Part of empowering and part of the vision of this church is we want to be like a sending center. We will raise, we will engage, we will train, and we will send. You know, and as sad as it's going to be, you know, if it was up to me, I'd just hoard everybody and just come, let's have a big group hug and don't leave. Don't worry, I'll feed you. Don't worry, you know, like we'll take care of. No, but like when you see people like Adil, when you see people who are genuinely called, and let me tell you something, don't run towards your calling. Just because the grass is greener on the other side, it's because somebody mowed it and took care of it. You didn't look at that at all, but you just see, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. Maybe I'll try that. Don't leave a situation until God's done in your current situation. Don't try to graduate out of it, because one thing that a lot of people fall into in, with regards to society in this day and age, because of the way we have become consumerist, is we're always looking for greener pastures, but we don't understand what the price has been paid that to make those pastures green. Allow yourself to go through the process of what God wants to do in you and through you in order to graduate you to the next level. That's what God wants to do with you. So engage, establish, equip, and then empower. I love this definition, and a lot of what I'm going to be talking about and framing, it comes from this book here by Robbie Gallaty wrote a book called Rediscovering Discipleship, and he gives this definition. This is one of many definitions that we have, but I like his definition for the sake of today's message. Discipleship is intentionally, everybody say intentionally, intentionally equipping people. So it doesn't happen by accident. Equipping people with the word of God through accountable relationships. Everybody say relationships. So it's all about relationships, not a class, not just a class. Classes are good, but if it's not rolling through the pipeline of relationship, then it's not discipleship. Accountable relationships empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to replicate faithful followers of Jesus Christ. The process is never complete until the mentee becomes a mentor. I'm going to give you today the five marks. Now, there's a reason why there's a C there. And these are all from him, okay? These are all from his book. But I'm going to expand from a scripture and break down, again, Matthew 10 in order to give some framework to these five marks of a disciple. And now, when we look at Matthew chapter 10, we look at Jesus working with his disciples, and he shows them in Matthew 10, this is how to become a disciple. He gives them kind of some instructions as to how they're supposed to go out. So the first mark of a disciple is that they must be missional. Everybody say missional. Missional. Again, Matthew 10 verse 5 says, then these 12 disciples we're talking about here, Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God has called us. God has given us a mission. It may not necessarily be to another city, because a lot of us try to graduate to another location without being faithful where we are. You fruit your way in ministry. Maturity is not measured by how long you've come to church or how long you've attended a biblical program or how long you've been in any, I've been a Christian, you know, since I was born, basically born under the church organ, you know, because I've been around Christianity, around my parents' Christianity for so long. And so we think that that's maturity. Maturity is always measured by fruit, whether it's in Matthew 7, that you shall know them by their fruit. Or it's Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Of these things, there is no law, there is no end, there is no boundary. You can have these things in bunches. That's what it looks like to be a disciple. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what? Proclaim as you go. Okay, don't just go, but you got to talk about Jesus as you go. But some of you might look at that. Some of you might look at that and go, wow, you know, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. It's not a question necessarily of, I have to do this. If you're so immersed in the love of God, you can't help but, you know, talk about him. You just can't shut up. For the Pinoys here, there is a term called kilig, diba? And kilig, well, in one manner, and again, all my Filipinos here can correct me, it's like you're so overwhelmed with, you just, you know, giggle about it. Like, you're so flustered with that love. You're just, is that right? Like, you just can't help it. You just, I just want to grab it and squeeze it and talk about it. But, you know, the way that God has called us to be in love with Jesus, if we really love him, we should be kilig about him, right? Like, we should be so overwhelmed with his goodness that we can't help but talk about it. Sometimes preaching the gospel should sound like holy gossip. You just can't help but, I know I shouldn't tell you this, but God has been like so awesome. Like, he's completely like transformed my life. Because if he's been that good, it's easier to proclaim. It sounds like a task when you're not full of the Spirit. It sounds like a task when you're not full of the love of God. And so the mission becomes work to you because you're not immersed in Him. And that's why we have a temptation towards our own mission, trying to guide our own mission when it was never the intention or the mission of God. And so fill yourself with this in the Spirit. Church, if I can encourage you, those of you who call Every Nation Brisbane home, don't expect the worship team to warm you up, to get you to a place where you're like, oh, okay, I wasn't really feeling it this time, but you know, by the time we got to the fourth song, I kind of felt the Spirit. I want to encourage you to bring your worship, because out of the secret place, out of the place that is unseen, sounds like foundations again, if you build that sort of lifestyle of worship in your secret place and come into this environment, then you have something to offer, to bring. That's part of being the body of Christ, is that you're a functional part of the organism that is called the body. And so this is our mission, that we proclaim as we go. Ask yourself seriously, if you're a follower of Christ in here, does proclaiming as you go sound like work? Or does it sound like a pleasure and an honor to do it? Because if it sounds like work, then I want to encourage you, go deeper in God. You know, like put pause on all the tapes and the learning just for a moment, okay? Because that's going to sound like work. And just get in the Spirit. Take time to pray, to worship God, to delve into the Scriptures, to fall in love with Jesus again. Just fall in love with Him again. The second mark, which is A, and this is like a swear word here in Australia, is accountability. Now, I'll just figure it out myself. You know, we live in a society that's very independent. And this is the part of discipleship that often conflicts with Australian, not just Australian, but Western society, because we become very individualistic about our faith when God has called us to be connected in community. He likens His church to a building, a body, and a bride. And it's not just, okay, for all my single sisters, like, I'm married to Jesus. I am the bride of Christ. No, you're not. You are a part of the body of Christ. Collectively, we are a bride. Even my brothers up in here, I know that doesn't sound very manly, but you're a part of the bride of Christ. We are all collectively a part of the body of Christ. We are all collectively a part of what He's building, of which He is the cornerstone. Amen? That's right. He is a part of the building. And if you've ever been to Israel and you've looked at the crude structures of which Jesus talks about being a building, in which Paul writes in 1 Corinthians and other places in his epistles about being a building of which Jesus is the cornerstone. You know what? There's nothing like fine about the bricks. They're all like rugged rocks that are put together, and they're jagged, but they kind of fit, but they're just put together. That's the sort of building that Jesus was talking about when he talked about us being a building. That's the sort of building that Paul was talking about when he was referencing being a building. And all of us have our rough edges. And all of us are called to walk alongside people that we may not necessarily like. God didn't command us to like. He commanded us to love. And there may be some people that you don't, you know, just preferentially, I don't know if I, you know, want to walk with that person. But a part of walking with that person is that it refines you and makes you more like Christ. That your rough edges and their rough edges actually help to refine, because it's not about you. It's always been about the building. And in that building, you walk in accountability. I heard this from our dear sister down in Sydney. Well, she's based in the States now, Christine Kane. And she said this. It really spoke to me with regards to accountability. She's a fellow Wheaton student. She's doing the same course that I'm doing. And she says this: if the light that is on you is brighter than the light that is in you, the light that is on you will destroy you. How many of us, we know we've got a calling, we know we've got a destiny, but we're all about that calling and all about that destiny as an individual, not seeing it in light of walking in accountable relationship. It's just a matter of time before that light will destroy you, because it's all about the spotlight. I know that sounds really hypocritical, because I do have a spotlight on me right now as I'm sharing this. Thank you. Just bring down the conviction, please. But I'm here to tell you today, be careful that you don't chase after platforms that your character is not ready for. A disciple is not above his teacher. Again, from the same scripture, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant to be like his master, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, name of the enemy or the devil. How much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear. Turn to somebody and encourage them. Have no fear. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim. There's that word again, on the housetops. Let me ask you this question with regards to walking with people who mentor you or speak into your life. First of all, do you have someone, if you are, like, we'll have mentors in other areas, like financial mentors or business mentors or career mentors. But when it comes to spirituality, how amazing is it that our spirits will buckle up and will buckle against that in the name of selfishness, will buck against the possibility of having somebody kind of look proverbially under our hood or check the maintenance of our hearts. Let me ask you, do you have discipleship with a small group of Christians who can ask you the hard questions? Do you have a mentor in your life? Do you have mentors in your life? People that can, you know, really check in on you and see how you're doing, and they can pray with you. It's not like, how are you doing? If you're not doing well, I must terminate you. No, it's not. That's not the will of God. The heart of God is to help up. Accountability is always a place where, you know what, we're going through stuff. We all go through stuff, but let's go through it together. I want to help you. I want to help you walk through this. And by the grace of God, we're going to make it. And even when you fall, even though you may, you know, drop the ball, God is faithful in His forgiveness. God is faithful in His grace to keep you in His plan, and He will restore you. And I want to help you walk through that restoration through His forgiveness. But you need to do it together with other people. God has given us a community to be accountable. Tim Keller here says, love without truth, speaking about truth and love, right? Love without truth is sentimentality. It supports and affirms us, but keeps us in denial about our flaws. How many of you, like, you say you love somebody, but when the truth exposes itself, you can't go there because you're afraid that you'll offend them. And truth without love is harshness. It gives us information, but in such a way that we cannot really hear it. I like Warren Wiersbe and how he puts it. Truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. Speak the truth in love. Get in an environment of discipleship where truth will set you free. If you have people that will speak truth in love, not just point the finger at you and criticize you with the truth, but to bring truth in love and say, you know what, let's walk together in this truth. R is reproducibility. Reproducibility. So whatever town and village you enter into, Matthew 10, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. What you have heard from me, this is 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, speaking about, again, multiplication, speaking about reproducibility. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is discipleship. This is what discipleship looks like. Discipleship is not successful. The aim of discipleship is to help mentees become mentors. Now, I want you to see this from, this is Paul writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. For the apostle Paul, he wrote, this is the last book he wrote. He was about to be executed. So he fully knew well that his days were numbered. And so again, last words, first importance, right? First priority. So we see here what you have heard from me, what you, Timothy, have heard from me, one generation to another, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. So don't disciple en masse. Like right now, this may be a part of discipleship, but true disciple happens when you are found faithful and you get in that sort of relationship where you're like, you know what, I want to grow. And if you see things in me that, you know, like we all have character blind spots. Like, call this out of me so that I can grow in God. So all of this stuff in faithful witnesses, but there's faithful men or faithful women that God has called you to pour your life into. And the way you teach those faithful men, teach them in a way that they'll be able to teach others also. So what you're seeing here is four generations of discipleship. Paul to Timothy, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That is the heart of discipleship. It's not a pyramid scheme. Okay, some of y'all might be looking at that. Oh, that sounds like this company or that company. I was about to say companies, but that's not it. It's all about the longevity of this message. And this message continues to grow, whether we're a part of it or not. But I want to be a part of it, don't you? I want to be a part of what God's doing in the earth. Number four, again, anti-Australia in terms of the natural proclivity, especially in urban cities like Brisbane, is communal. Because again, we love to do things ourselves. We love to figure it out ourselves. We love to isolate. And one of the greatest enemies of discipleship is isolation. Every time a disciple isolated themselves, it always ended bad. Go off and do what you need to do, Judas. Moving away from the final meal of which Jesus is displaying to his disciples, this is what I'm about to do for you. Communal, walk in community. I know it's hard. I know that there's going to be times that you don't want to come to church. You don't want to come to life group. You don't want to connect with other people. But if you fight for these relationships, I'm telling you, you will continue to grow. Get in a small group. We have small groups. We have life groups that happen all throughout the city on the campus with Adele and Mark, but also throughout the city, whether you're on the south side, north side, you know, wherever you are. We have small groups that meet in community because we know that there's not that connectivity that can happen in a setting like this because all you're doing is listening to somebody talk. And I'll give you an opportunity to talk in just a moment and to share in a small group here so you can see the power of it in action. But a part of being in community and in a communal relationship is that you build trust. You build trust in those relationships where you can be transparent. Lastly, a mark of a disciple, the reason why we're disciples and how we become disciples is that it's scriptural. It's biblical. It's not some scheme that Nelly came up with. It's a part of what the Bible commands us to do. Matthew 10 again. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious on how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So how many of you know you desperately need the scriptures inside of you? I have three, you know, like if you're looking for a Monday handle, like get these things in your life when it comes to the scriptures. Read the Bible, okay? Some of us will believe Us Weekly before we believe the Bible. I can't believe this is happening. Journal, write down what God is saying. You know, Habakkuk 2 verse 2 says, write down the revelation so that a herald may run with it. Right? And memorize the scriptures. The last thing you want to be is a disciple who faces a trial and the only verse you have memorized is Jesus wept. It's just the shortest verse in the Bible. Like you're going through some hard stuff and Jesus wept. And I feel like I should do the same. Like you need those scriptures. You need the word of God. You need the promises of God in your spirit so that when the pressure is on, and the pressure will be on, his scriptures, his words, his promises will come out. Here are the marks of a disciple. They're missional. They're accountable. They reproduce. And again, I'm not going to be graphic in here, all right? Because this is PG. We're in a church. But let me just say this, all right? Reproduction happens out of intimacy. That's all I'm going to say, all right? If you have intimacy with God, you will reproduce. C, communal. Be a part of community. And then S, scripture. Get the scripture in you so that all that will come out as a disciple of Christ is his word. Now, here's what we're going to do today, brothers and sisters. And again, I want to activate all the life group leaders in here, all the 215 graduates in here, and those of you who have done SOE. We're going to take a moment to pray with one another, but I'm going to ask you to ask one of these questions. There's three groups of questions in here. Some of you may not be a follower of Jesus. That's the first question. Second one is for those of you who are followers of Jesus. And thirdly, those of you who run life groups, okay? So you can pick one of these questions. The first question is, how will you respond to the call to become a disciple or a follower of Christ? Again, no pressure. Just share what's on your heart. Secondly, if you are a follower of Jesus, consider the five marks of a disciple. Which of these qualities would you like to see more of in your life? And who can help you see this in your life? Like, again, who is the community? Who are the people that are discipling you and mentoring you? Then lastly, if you are a life group leader, consider the five marks of a life group. Again, use those marks with regards to your life group. And which of these would you say needs to be strengthened in your life group? And what do you plan to do to see it happen? Are we all clear? So pick one of those three questions. And what I want you to do is kind of turn around and maneuver around. And I'll activate all of you, those of you who are life group leaders and those of you who are 215 grads and done SOE or SOH, make sure that everybody has a group with one of us in it and so that we can discuss this. And we'll go through this for about 5 minutes and then we'll begin to worship. And we're going to take communion. Part of being a community is remembering the price that Jesus paid for us. And so when we take communion, I want us to just remain in those small groups and just take the opportunity to pray and thank God for sending his son, whose body was broken that we'd be made whole. And again, whose body was pressed upon and understood what it meant to face extreme pressure to the point where he sweated blood, but he still took upon himself the cross to save us.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.